When much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. About 800 miles from the North Pole, behind walls of concrete that are 1 meter thick and buried 120 meters beneath the permafrost on an island called Spitsbergen in the Arctic Circle in Norway, there is the Svalbard Global Seed Vault. And behind a robust security system designed to withstand nuclear war, this seed vault preserves 967,216 samples of seeds, representing over 13,000 years of agricultural history. And I suppose there are not a few people who hope that if the world ever melts down, something from deep beneath the permafrost of Norway will save us all. Those seeds will save us. I'm sure they would love to get a hold of the original seeds that Jesus was speaking about in the parable that we hear today, as no doubt he stood near agricultural areas speaking to the multitudes once again about seeds and soil and growth and harvest. Farmers planted their crops 2,000 years ago in a way that would seem a little strange to us today. They call it broadcasting. They simply would take a handful of seeds and throw them across the field like candy at a parade. Today, we would never do that. We'd plant each individual seed very carefully. But they either had plenty of seed, and so they wouldn't worry about it, or they determined that this was simply the best way to sow a crop. Regardless, they say you would need to sow at least 20% more seed than we would need today, because so much of the seed would not succeed. Haphazard was the practice. Nevertheless, it served as the illustration for what Jesus would have us understand today about the grace of God and the kingdom of God and our cooperation with the work of our Lord. The valuable seed, the hoped for crop, and the varying states of earth on which that good seed fell. Jesus begins, "A sower went out to sow his seed." And we have to say that as he finishes just a few moments later, it seems as if he's said almost nothing. A farmer casts his seed out, some on good ground, some on not good ground, some grows, others don't, various reasons, the end. For a farmer, that wasn't much of a message. A laborer who is listening might say, "What's so amazing about that? I walked all this way to hear Jesus, and he told me something I've known since I was a kid." Who would think that such a pastoral scene, such an agrarian activity, could all at once astound, perplex, convict, and inspire for thousands of years all those who have heard that parable explained? In explanation of the parable which the disciples pleaded for, Jesus lets us know that the seed is the word of God in the context of what Jesus calls the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Jesus preaches a parable to speak to the people about the gospel. And before we begin, we should clarify something. It's an interesting moment to consider in Christ's ministry because he's not really preaching the gospel per se. He's preaching about the preaching of the gospel. You see what I mean? He's talking about the seed being cast out. He's preaching about the preaching of the gospel. And we should take a moment to consider at the moment of Jesus' preaching about the preaching of the gospel. What is the gospel? Today, if you went out on the street and said, "What is the gospel?" the answer would invariably be that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again from the dead that I might have eternal life. But we should pause for a moment to recognize that John the Baptist, from prison, sent his own disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah, or should we wait for another?" And when Jesus answers, he offers as proof that he was the one, that he fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah, that Isaiah gave of the Messiah, saying the gospel will be preached to the poor. And what is the gospel that Jesus preached? What is the good news? To Isaiah and even to Jesus, the gospel could not be that Jesus died for your sins and rose again so that you could have eternal life, because very simply, it hadn't happened. It hadn't happened yet. The gospel in Isaiah's time was the good news that the kingdom of God was breaking into the world. The brokenhearted being bound up, liberty being proclaimed to the captives, and release from darkness proclaimed to the prisoners. The kingdom of God is nigh. The gospel. That's good news. For us, the gospel, let's say, banner, has unfurled to its full extent nearly, and indeed has included the death and resurrection and ascension of Christ, and we can see it all now. But the gospel of Jesus' day was not only that the kingdom of God was near, the kingdom of God was nigh, but that the king had come. The king was in their midst. There is no kingdom without a king. And the king had arrived. The king of kings was Jesus of Nazareth. He is here, and you may now rightly genuflect and worship him in person. That was the gospel. That was good news. Jesus was preaching about the preaching that the kingdom of God had come because the king was here. Now that gospel, that good news, and all that entails is spread out on the soil of mankind. From Isaiah's day to Jesus' day, Jesus is the king. His is the kingdom. We know one thing to be true. Not all responses to the good seed of the gospel are the same. The very valuable message of the gospel is spread out, and the mysteries of the kingdom of God are placed on the soil, as you might say, broadcast. And for some, it is as if it falls by the wayside. They never receive it. The message is lost in the cacophony of other messages coming at them. Foot traffic is going in all directions, hardening the soil, making it impossible for that seed to take root. The enemy quickly, quietly removes the gospel from their hearts and from their minds. The kingdom of God is nigh. Who cares? The King of Kings, who's that? For others, the good news is received with joy, but in the same way that catching a t-shirt at a football game is received. Hooray! I caught the t-shirt. Never takes deep root. Eventually, get tired of it. And in time of the slightest temptation or persecution, they fall away and receive some other message with joy until they're tired of that too. For others, the good news is received but drowned out, choked out by the pressures and cares and concerns of the life that they live. And the preparations, the reservations, the vacations, and all that that they're making for themselves to live their best life, as we say today, or some people do, prevent them from preserving the message of life itself. And in the busy preparation for life, life itself is choked out, and the good news is lost. But for still others, the gospel is received completely. Hungrily, as it were. The cares of the world do not choke it out. They do not tire of it and turn to whatever gospel is passing by. And the enemy is not able to so easily take it away from them. Their souls are not trodden down into hardness. A simple message, but perplexing nevertheless, because it seems that Jesus is saying the souls of mankind are set before the news is ever heard. It seems that for some, the soil is hard already, and for them, as Jesus says, the gospel is one strange parable that they can never quite decipher, perhaps always learning and never coming to a knowledge of the truth might apply. It seems like for others, the soil is ready to receive the valuable seed, and that for both, the state of their souls had always been decidedly so. Jesus preaches in mysterious parables, as the English translation says, so that they won't understand. Now that's perplexing. There's another sermon. And on the other hand, the message of the sower and his seed inspires in us a deep desire to change, to work the soil, and not to say, I have always been a hard-hearted person. Perhaps it is predestined that I shall be hard-hearted and not receive. No, it inspires in us the desire to change, and it becomes immediately evident to us that not always, but perhaps maybe the last year or two, we have been hard, impenetrable. The Word of God has been wasted on us for maybe a year or two. But now we come to a season of repentance, Lent, and we plead for the Holy Spirit to soften us again, to make us so that we're no longer those for whom the gospel is choked out with cares and concerns and pleasures and riches. And we wish, we commit, we yearn, we plead to be those souls in whom the Word of God and the mysteries of the kingdom of God are able to produce fruit with patience, good and honest hearts that Jesus speaks so well of. And at once we are astounded that our hearts could be so likened to soil that it will either receive good seed and bear fruit or not. And we are perplexed that Jesus would seem to speak in a parable so that we or others might not understand. And we cannot deny, though, that we are convicted when we hear these words. Who has not heard this parable and wondered, am I the impossible one? Am I the one who is not listening? The words of Christ, by the movement of the Holy Spirit upon us, can inspire us to cooperate with the work that God is trying to do and that he has begun in us. And so to stand perplexed about our fate is not for us, rather the God of this kingdom has handed us something like tools, gardening tools. He's given us a season of Lent, that's for sure. The kingdom of God has come near to us. The king has come. The king is here. He has proclaimed good news and has been the good news himself. He has taken our sins upon himself, died, risen again, broadcasted the gospel seed that he has ascended into heaven to the right hand of the Father. And that he is coming again, and our destiny is with him in a resurrected life bearing fruit a hundredfold. No seed bank will save you for long if there is no good soil to plant seed in. And so receive it. Bury it deep and nourish it and cooperate with the Holy Spirit and look forward to bearing fruit. Do not be hard-hearted, and do not be shallow, and do not be choked with cares. Welcome the kingdom of God. Welcome the King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.